So today is May 9th, 2016, and yesterday I gave a shiur. I didn't give a date, so please, it's yesterday was one day earlier, May 8th. Okay, first of all, before I begin the shiur, I want to tell one story about Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. It's his yard site today, and the memorial's all over. And I want to say something that I wouldn't say in the B'chayav, I wouldn't repeat the story, but I think today it's an amazing little story to repeat. I don't know how many people in the world know this story. I may be the only one, actually. Rabbi Aaron told it to me many, many decades ago. You have to remember, when I came into the yeshiva in 51, the yeshiva was much smaller and it was one unit. It wasn't split up. You started high school, you were 13 years old, and you were friendly with youngsters who were 23, 24 getting smicha. It was one unit. And water seeks its own level, meaning if you were a serious kid, you knew every serious kid in the yeshiva. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And that's why when I was in high school, I already had rebbeim from the college. In other words, It wasn't a formal, if you were on the level. I already was in Rev. Noach Bornstein Shia, my fourth year of high school. I befriended, any smart kid befriended Rav Aaron. We called him the Babe. You all know, I explained to you, I got a serious question why he was called the Babe. And essentially it was because he had a baby face. The fact that people later said he was like Babe Ruth, Yachid Bedoro, was an addendum, but it's not the original reason. He had a big, round face. I have a grandson like that. It's Mama's shame. A moon face, I think they call it. So, and then Rav Aaron finished college, and he left the yeshiva a few years. We all knew he was getting a PhD in Harvard. And we all knew that he was rented in Brookline, and every Friday night he was with the Rav, and the Rav gave his shiur in his house, Rav Aaron and his son Rav Chaim and his daughter and his two daughters, his son-in-law. It was a private family shiur. I don't know if there were any outsiders. Jay, maybe you know, but outside of Rav Aaron, I don't know. Although the Rav rented, if I'm not mistaken, from the Millen family. Rav Aaron rented from the Millen family, if I'm not mistaken. Could be the Millens came as well. So then Rav Aaron gets his doctorate. So Aaron told me when he got his doctorate, he told Rabbi, Friday night after the shiur, they were having tea and cake. And he said, Rabbi, I got my doctorate this week. And the Rav looks up and says, what's your doctorate in? And he tells the Rebbe, in English literature. And the Rav says to him, physics, mathematics? And Rav Aaron says, Rebbe, had you told me? Now that story is so revealing. Number one, it shows you the relationship between the Rav and Rav Aaron. All these years in Boston, studying in Harvard, their whole relationship was in Talmud Torah. That the Rav never knew what Aaron was studying, what he was interested in. Also, it shows you Rav Aaron, the man's ability. If anyone said to me, you got a doctorate in Jewish history, big deal. Why don't you go for physics? I would say, I look at my grandchildren, I see what they're studying, what they're I see the work they're doing. And one grandson just got 100 in one of his big exams in the Technion. It's like Chinese to me. And Aaron says to the Rav, Rebbe, had you told me, I would have gone, mathematics, physics. That also reveals what the Rav was interested in. You all know, when he went to Berlin, in addition to philosophy, he took courses and he was very interested, always remained interested in mathematics and the sciences. So it's a very, very revealing story. As much as will be said about Rav Aaron, there is no question he was the great loss to Yeshiva University by going in Aliyah. And you understand, you have to understand, all right, I do deserve a little credit in the sense I was the first one when I left the Yeshiva. I have to be brief, but if you read Washington and read between the lines, they made a farewell party for me, Dr. Belkin, what went on, the Rashi Yeshiva, and Rabbi Belkin spoke. And he said to me, Dr. Rotkopf, in front of hundreds of people, or tens of people, I forget already how big the crowd was, and he says, Dr. Rotkopf, there will always be a place for you at the yeshiva. When I went to tell the Rav I'm leaving and take a Birchat Preda, I wrote him that I was leaving. I went for Birchat Preda. I didn't ask for advice. I'm not a chassid. I'm a Talmud. So I knew if I asked for advice, he'd tell me to stay. But I took a Birchat Preda. He said to me, how will you make a living? And there was no question that they couldn't believe anyone could succeed in Eretz Yisrael. You know, a teacher, a Rebbe, a Machaneich, a YU product. What are you going to do? What future is there for you there? But all right, with all due respects, Rakefet left. All right, I did play a role in bringing Reb Aaron. I did pace the way. I was eulogized on all sides, a Rosh Yeshiva whom the Talmidim love, a rabbi building an Orthodox kehillah, first Orthodox shul, suburban Essex County. But Reb Aaron was a tremendous love, and I'll tell you, a tremendous loss, and I'll tell you why. Because no one represented the Rav better than Reb Aaron. I can't say he was a clone of the Rav, but he came as close as possible to that breadth of knowledge, that Torah Mada, which is so essential to Yeshiva University. Reb Aaron had it. No other Talmud of the Rav had it on the level of Reb Aaron. With all due respects, people say Rakefet is a Talmud of the Rav. Yeah, true. But all right, I have a doctorate. True. But look what my doctorate is in. My doctorate is in the history of Torah. When I taught in BMT, the boys used to say, Rebbe, you can't give a shiur in Jewish history without mixing in Shas and Paiskim, and you can't teach Shas for Paiskim without mixing in Jewish history. You understand? All right, I'm not ashamed of what I do. I'm proud of it. But you'll take Rav Heschel Schechter. No, there's no question he's one of the greatest Talmidim of the Rav. But the breitkeit of the Rav is not part of Rav Heschel. He has a master's, I believe, in mathematics. All right, fine. But Reb Aaron had that breitkeit. Michael Rosenzweig, Rabbi Dr. Meyer, here you have an example, a genius, a gong. Doctorate is in the Chaim, Rabbi Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik's field. You understand? It overlaps. My classmate, Rabbi Dr. Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, has a doctorate. No two ways about it. The genius of geniuses. But he's involved in scientific Torah scholarship in addition to Shas and Paiskim. But Reb Aaron had that greatness of the Rav. There was the English literature, the ability to give a shiur and bring in the great authors, the poems, the novels, the lesson. I don't want to go further. We can go on endlessly. But Reb Aaron Lichtenstein was a great loss to the Rav. And a great loss to the yeshiva. On the other hand, look what the man accomplished in the state of Israel. Again, I compare myself. I went into a little corner. I withdrew. No, while I was teaching in Michalara, I had some impact on the Israeli scene. I withdrew. And where do I sit? I sit in here. This is extraterritorial. You walk into this building, you have to speak English. You have to have an American mentality. It's an entire different world here. We're sitting in Yerushalayim. Talmidim can be here for the year and never really acclimate or understand what's going on beyond the Dalai Lama. Reb Aaron went into the thick of the Israeli scene as the new word they coined in Israel when he died. He was a total outsider, And everyone acknowledges today he raised the entire level of learning in the Yeshiva Hezda. You got to give all the credit in the world that this is mamish, a loss that for me cannot be replaced, because I understood where he came from, I understood who he was, and I understood what he has accomplished here. All right, we can only hope generations will be raised and be inspired by Reb Aaron. Okay, Yehi Zichro Baruch. I'm sure that there'll be other Hespedim, both in the Gush and in America and in Migdal Oz, that will do justice to the man and his family. It is a credit to the Rav, that's all I can say. On a personal level, I have to tell you, I'm a very, very happy man. because I've told you more than once, I quote Rebbe, I write about this in the Rav. When you say something and you hear others are saying the same thing, it's the greatest compliment. It means you're going right. The Mori Rebbe quoted his great-grandfather, the Brisker Rav, said this. It means you, if others are giving your chidushim, your insights, you're on the right track. So I have to tell you, in three different areas over Pesach, I was a very happy man. If you recall, I've asked the question more than once, why the Hasidic movement succeeded so, and the Litvisha Missa movement, if it affected 1,000 people in the last 180 years, I'm probably overstating the case. 1,000 people in the last 180 years. Hasidish today, millions have been affected, have been influenced, have been inspired. I'm holding in my hand a very valuable little sefer for anyone who knows the synagogue called Yakar in Yerushalayim, and there's a branch in Tel Aviv, North Tel Aviv. This is the, I believe it's the master's thesis of Rabbi Kuppel Rosen in 1945. Master thesis. Who is Rabbi Kuppel Rosen? He's the father of the Rabbi Rosens. One of them is the one Zichrono Livracha founded Yakar. One of them is involved with the chief rabbinate, relations with the church. A very capable family. And his master's thesis is he studied in Mir. He was exposed to Rabbi Yeruchim Lubavitz. His master's thesis is Rabbi Israel Solanta and the Musa movement. And I couldn't believe it. I'm beginning on page 96. It's like he was listening to my Shayurim. Now, I don't believe I said Shayurim in 1944-43. Word by word what I said in class. Word by word. Why the Hasidim thrive and why Musa has such little impact. Word by word. Word by word, I couldn't get over it. Just like to be a Musanik, it requires learning and dedication and surrender. To be a Chassid, you can be a very learned, majestic Chassid, but the masses are simple Chassidim, and to be a simple Chassid, on cooking the Rebbe and drinking a Lachaim, we can all do it. Then I have to say, I was reading Rabbi Eliezer Melamed. It's Rabbi Eliezer Melamed, the son of Rabbi Zalman Melamed, right? One of my grandsons studied with him, knows him very well. Rabbi Eliezer, of two of my grandsons. So he's published Sfarim and Halacha. Over 1 million copies have been sold. So I saw the headline, 1 million copies of all his various Sfarim. So I thought to myself, boy, if I were trying to figure out how many copies of all my books with all their editions sold, Maybe, I don't know, optimistically, maybe I'll hit, let me say, 15,000 copies. No, 15,000 copies of 7 different books until now, many 4 editions, and you compare 1 million. So then it dawned upon me, a Talmud in the Kollel gave me a gift a number of years ago. He was one of the translators of the laws of Pesach into English, Rabbi Eliezer Melamed. So I said, you know, who is this man? Let me open it up. And the fact that I met him at my grandson's wedding, I opened it up. I was blown away by his ability to get to the heart of every issue and his knowledge. You have to have a feeling for psak and understanding. I've often told my grandchildren, if I wouldn't have been a Melamed, I would have been a Dayan. You have to have a feeling for it. You have to have a feeling for psak. Beginning on page 142, he goes into the whole problem of Kitniyot on Pesach, word by word what I said in Shir. Word by word, I couldn't believe it, exactly, 100%. Even the joke I told you at the end, that nowadays, where we have machine matzahs and we buy the products before Pesach, there's no problem in the world you can have on Pesach. And he's mati, you know, make kitniyot, and canola oil is not kitniyot. And he's clear and succinct. Baruch Shekivanti. The third issue, which is the most important issue, and I spoke about that yesterday, and I've said it in class, and I repeat it again. Chaim Navon. Anyone recognize the name? Chaim Navon is a Talmud Mufak of Rabbi Lichtenstein, Rabbi Yehuda Amital. one of the top products of the Gush. I don't know who he's more like, but he looks like Rabbaran. He's clean shaven, and Mamish, someone I can identify with 100%. We've spoken a few times, but I really don't know him intimately, but from his writings, maybe he's listening to the tapes of the class. Anything is possible. Our biggest mistake is calling ourselves Orthodox Jews. We are Jews, period. There's no such thing as Orthodox Conservative Reform. The minute you start putting out labels, then right away, you're anti-conservative, you're anti-reform. Chas v'chalila, we are Jews. Then you have to ask, what does it mean to be a Jew? To be a Jew, by definition, is Shabbat, Kashrut, Tarat Mishpacha. Listen to my drasha yesterday. I transported the class back to 1962, Maplewood, South Orange, Yiska. Powerful drasha. Herbie Maltz broke the ice, you remember? Suddenly, look, it's a drasha. What's going on? I said, you're in 62, but he made the first pledge. He put up the first $100, 1962 money. But I couldn't believe it. Chaim Navon, Ein Zramim B'Yahadut. I looked at it. I was jumping for joy. Okay, so that's comments on Ashreini Shezachiti, and I know I'm going on the right path. How do I know that, Josh? Because others are saying the same thing. Now, I also want to say, take a look. We have Yom HaTzmut coming. You'll say, what's Yom HaTzmut? I've often argued with Haredim many times over. So Haredim have said to me, Heya, what happened in Heya? You know, we see it in Sraim, Matan Torah, Sukkot, Manani HaKavod, but Heya, what happened? I said, Heya, the greatest miracles of all happened. Number one, Ben Gurion had the guts to stand up to the American State Department. We've had no other prime minister who had the guts, including Netanyahu, including Begin. BG told the State Department to get lost. Shmum. Kavod. Number two, I said, the longer you live here and you see the leaders, if you can have an idiot like this Golan, a man, a major general who played into Lach Haaretz, they play into the hands of all Sonei Yisrael. Tzahal is equated with the Nazis. Gentlemen, I'll ask you a different question. Why doesn't Aaron Rakefet not walk around with a gun and shoot every Arab in sight? You know how many? David Applebaum, my bosom buddy, Hashem Yikam Damo, his daughter, my students who were killed, the children of students, a grandson wounded in battle, what you go through when you're wounded, the kids who didn't return. I don't have enough fingers to count the madrichim of BMT who never return. And yet Rakefet is taught for decade after decade after decade, you never lift the gun, you never lift the finger, you give respect to every human being created with Salam Elokim. If an Arab lifts a rock to throw at you, that's a different story. So this major general, because they're all carrying on, that soldier who shot the Arab who was on the floor, that the Arab a minute earlier badly injured his best friend, tried to kill the two of them. All right, maybe he shouldn't have shot. I don't know what the testimony will show, but if the Arab was moving and there was fear there's a bomb on him, what are the rules? What are the regulations? But from that, you turn it in that we're turning into Nazis. Just the opposite, that we remain a normal, sane people. Wow. So that, you know, the leadership here, running the country. Here the world is yelling, we want Haredim in the army. We want Haredim in the army. Suddenly there are prohibitions against having beards in the army. What are we talking about? This is our leadership. This is the major general of the Rosh, the Mater, the Ramatkal, the Rosh Mater Klali is against beards. The Minister of Defense, Yalon, is against the beards? We should be fighting for mikveh in every army base so that a chassid can go to mikveh every morning. So when you see who's running the country and yet we succeed, quote Rabbi Shtisel, nu, chasdei Hashem, plain and simple. But let me show you a third reason. Anyone recognize what this is? Chasdei Hashem. These are sunflower seeds from Russia, imported to Israel, with double hashgacha. The chief rabbinate of Russia, headed by Harav Berel Lazar, and the chief rabbinate of Israel, giving its yeshua. Do you know how many factories in Russia are under supervision today? Would you ever dream? All right, you kids, when did you grow up? What we went through, Morty, remember the demonstrations? I remember already in the mid-50s demonstrating. All right, Charlie, you're a little younger, but you also should remember the demonstrations. Mark, in your time, take a look. And how did this miracle come about? The state of Israel. Had there not been a state of Israel, there would be nothing in Russia today, from Yiddishkeit point of view. The state of Israel. Read, study, make an investment, Josh. Who was the first president of the United States? No, George Washington. Baruch Hashem that you know. A book is called From Washington Avenue to Washington Street. Be sure you own it. Not just own it, that the pages are dog-eared. And if you don't believe what's in the book, you read Matan Hebrew, B'nitiv Hadamama, Mekhan Shazah. Got it? All right. Have a lot to give out. Let's roll. Gentlemen, we have arrived. The trial over the books, and I want to just add a sad postscript. If you recall, I said to you, and I told you, you know, historically it's true, that Barry Guraye brought over an expert from Israel, from the Hebrew University, Professor Shmuel Shiloh. Professor Shiloh died a few weeks before Pesach. Zichrono Livracha, he, at the Shiva House, I knew of one major volume he published. He has three major volumes on Mishpat Ivri. And he and his wife, she's a Nurur Einikel of Rav Shimshon Ful Hirsch, his wife, Magolit. They raised a beautiful family. So Yehei Zichro Baruch, he was the first person I knew who won an Aliyah, direct from Yeshiva College graduation, 1957. From the graduation, went to the plane to go an Aliyah. Yehei Zichro Baruch. Gentlemen, but there's a major topic, and that's the reason I spent the last 2 years on the Lubavitcher Rebbe. When I mentioned in class, and let me just backtrack in honor of Josh Hazar. You know, I had Nazar in the 1990s at the Kollel. Is that a relative to you? You know that there was one, that there was a Nazar here?
Not related.
Okay. He's on Aliyah. He's living in Israel. He married a girl, as I recall, an Ashkenaziyah, I believe from Boston, with Chicago roots as well, Kaganov, if my memory is correct. It's years ago, it's from the 1990s. So, if you recall, when I finished 10 years of lectures on questions my students asked me, so at that point, I was debating what to do afterwards, and at that point, years ago, I found out, number one, that Reb Aaron was quite ill, which was shocking, and my mother died as well, which aged me considerably. When you have a mother, and every morning you go to visit her, and she says, Arnie, how are you? You're a kid. But Reb Aaron is ill, and my mother is gone, so I said, you know, let me teach something I know. Because if I don't get this out of me, it may be lost there. Whatever the reasons are, there are aspects of the history of Torah in the United States that I may be the last person standing who really can talk about it in depth and understands it. So I started a course, what is it, 4 or 5 years ago, the history of Torah in the United States, and we're now in the fourth or fifth year. 2 years ago, I reached the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and the minute I mentioned the Rebbe, I see the younger people in the room smirk. And I said, yeah, I know why you're smirking, because your concept of the Rebbe is messianicism and all that's going on now. I said, you know, let me do justice to the Rebbe. You should know who he was and what he did. And a balanced picture that I can give is trained historian and as a Litvak looking in at Lubavitch, as my Rebbe, Maria Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, was capable of doing. And 2 years ago, of course, I began the lectures on the Rebbe. And now we've reached the reason I began the lectures, Messianicism. And let me begin. Tell me, is there anything wrong with saying this person could be Mashiach? An interesting question. Anything wrong? Relax, Moshe, I haven't said a word. So I want to show you an open Gemara. Sanhedrin Sadi Dalid Omer Aleph. And the very, very important Gemara. The Gemara is talking about Chizkiyo HaMelech and Melchemet Gog Umagog, the Melchama with Sancherev. And the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asot Chizkiyohu Mashiach V'Sancherev Gog Umagog, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Chizkiyohu the Melech HaMashiach. Amram Midat HaDin Lefanav. The Midat HaDin said, Ribayne Shalaylam. Ma David Melech Yisrael Sha'ama Kamashirut V'Tishpachat Lefanech. Lo Asita Mashiach. Chizkiyahu Sha'asita Lo Kol HaNisim Halalu. V'lo amal shira lefanecha ta'aseihu Mashiach. And the Midat HaDin went out. David HaMelech, Mechabe of Tehillim, Shirim v'Tishpachot, did so much to praise God, all our davening until today. We say more Tehillim in davening than any other source. Make the cheshbon. The reverence went to a whole pilpul. How we say Oz Yashir, that basically between Baruch Shama to Yishtabach, you're only allowed to say Mizmarei Tehillim of David HaMelech. And nevertheless, David HaMelech did not become Mashiach Tzidkenu. And you want to make Chizkiyah, and you made so many miracles for him. You all studied Nach, you all know what happened. Sancherib was infinitely more powerful and a plague, and the army was wiped out. And Chizkiyahu was saved, and he didn't say Shirim v'Tishpachot. No, an open Gemara, Perek Chelek, an open Gemara. I have one great regret in life, and there's no solution. I studied Sanhedrin with the Rav. That was the famous Sanhedrin Shir that the Rav began in 57 for the college kids. So we had 2 full years on Sanhedrin. But we didn't do Perek Chelek. We did the halachic part. And we always would think, if only the Rav had done Perek Chelek. Because Perek Chelek is, I don't have to tell you, it's the source of all messianic understanding and the ultimate age of redemption. Perek Chelek, not a small matter. I wonder if in Boston, the Chevra Shas, if the Rav ever did Perek Chelek, it would be interesting to know. As far as I know, it has never surfaced. But this is an amazing Gemara. Okay, what do you see from this Gemara? You see from this Gemara that in every generation there could be someone who is eligible to be Mashiach. It just has to fall into place. The person has to do the right things. The generation has to be deserving. But Chizkiyahu was a candidate to be Melech HaMashiach. Fun. I want to tell you an amazing story now. We'll come back to when this story happened in 1968. And believe it or not, it happened last Monday night again. story is very simple. You all know, and you're familiar with Washington, and I just wrote a letter to a Talmud, Chaim Meiselman, who you may recall, and I mentioned it as well. In the early 50s, I learned in Lakewood. Lakewood was infinitely smaller than YU. At that time, who would ever dream that one day it would be the second largest yeshiva in the world, second only to Mir? Who would ever dream you have yeshiva with 5,000 students, 6,000 students? And Lakewood was a very intimate experience. And I had the privilege to be a Talmud of Rabbi Aaron Cutler, and to become very close to his son, Reb Shneur Cutler, who at that time was not the Rosh Yeshiva yet. He was just like the Rosh Yeshiva's assistant in assisting his father. That relationship continued way beyond the time I spent in Lakewood. When I went into the rabbinate in Essex County, I, you know, was one of the rabbanim and a younger rabbi, a speaker in English, and I don't recall giving drashot in Yiddish, although I could have, but I was dealing with the American clientele already. And funds were raised. Rosh Yeshiva came to Essex County. The Rabbanim would come together with our balabatim and hold a reception and pledge money for the support of Torah. I don't know how they do it today. Today you have multi-billionaires who are from Jews, something we could never dream about at that time. But we had these receptions. Rabbi Moshe came to Essex County. I mean, these were experiences. Lakewood, Rabbi Shneur Cutler now was the Rosh Yeshiva. It's 1968. Rabbi Aaron had passed away in 1962, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. And Rabbi Shneur comes to Lakewood. And because I had studied in Lakewood, I was one of the featured speakers. Now notice, this was Hanukkah time, 1968. We're 1 year after the Six-Day War. All of you are familiar with the memoir literature, what the Six-Day War did for the Jewish people. I often told Israelis when I was in Olei Chadash Ba'aretz that I'm also a casualty of the Six-Day War. Following the Six-Day War, I couldn't sleep another night of a peaceful sleep in Chutz La'aretz. Until the Six-Day War, the Rav made me digress, told me being in the rabbinate, teaching a shir in yeshiva is more important than any aliyah. And after the Six-Day War, my wife ran out and she opened my mind to Lech Lecha Me'atzecha. Okay. Now, December of 68, I knew I was going in Aliyah. I was already negotiating through the Jewish Agency a contract with the Encyclopedia Judaica, but I hadn't told anyone outside of Rabbi Eberman, Zichrono Levracha, who ran the yeshiva, ran YU at that time. I told Ruby Eberman because he had been in Israel and was in America to get a doctorate, was going back to Israel, and I could confide in him, and I wanted his help, advice, and guidance. Fine. No one else knew, but I knew. And I got up at this reception for Reb Shneur Cutler. And I quoted the Gemara that I just quoted to you. And I said, and our generation has to be strong enough and smart enough to respond to the Kol Dodi Dofeik, to quote Mori Rebbe, which was 56 when he said it, what the Six-Day War has done for us, Donnie, we have to show we are worthy. We have to be the generation that will pave the way for Mashiach, said Kenu. And I went on in this vein, and then I spoke how important it is to know how to learn and understand a Gemara, Chazal, and this Lakewood helps establish, etc. And then when Reb Shneur got up to give the main address, he gave me a look. Swords were being exchanged. Man darf gut verstehen die Gemara. Josh, you got to understand this Gemara very well. You understand what he was saying to me? Rothkopf, you should have stayed in Lakewood longer. Wie du teichst ab der Gemara ist nicht demes. The way you're explaining this Gemara is not true. All right, he smacked my face. Not everyone understood. You understand that? To be, have your face smacked by Rav Shneur Cutler, it's a privilege, okay? You're sitting, you're all sitting. Charlie, years later, I had come in Aliyah, not that much long later. And I've told the story, I write the story, and I spoke about it at the House of Mourning for Rabbi Holzer. But let me repeat it in context. I come to Israel, you know, ani olech hadash baaretz, ani bekoshi medaber ivrit, a newcomer. Got to learn the bank, the system. Yeah, no idea what we went through. It's not like today. Today you have no mitzvah of aliyah. Nefesh ben nefesh lifts you up, puts diapers on you, changes the diapers, and brings you here. With all the respect to Vic Rain, he ain't Vic Snow anymore. Had he come the way I did, he would have remained Vic Snow. So I then, within a year or two, I'm acclimated. My kids are in school. Everyone is happy. I don't have money. Got a struggle. Baruch Hashem. It's part of Israel. Those years, at least. Now I want to find myself spiritually. I go to Merkaz Harav. And I get to talk with some of them. All right, I can hold my own in learning. That's not a problem. But their attitude towards college, towards university, wow, it's like Lakewood all over again. I couldn't believe my ears. I go to Yeshivat Chevron. Oh, Jay, you will never appreciate this. I went, you know, with such expectation. I'm going to hear Reb Moshe Chevroni speak. I'm going to hear the Mashkiach. I go to Chevron. The Mashkiach gets up to speak. Half the yeshiva walks out. They're cursing him. I couldn't believe my ears. I learned a terrible word there. It's nish. I don't even say it in front of you. You know what the word frank means? That's where I learned it, in Yeshivat Chevron. You don't know. You don't know. You know Hebrew? You don't know Hebrew. It's the way they put down the Moroccans. Es nish nevi a frank. You understand what I'm saying? He's not more. I couldn't believe my ears. Who was the Rambam? Who was the Rabbah? Who was the Rashba? Who was the Ritba? Who was the Ramban? How do you talk that way? It's a good thing I learned it, because over the years, I remember I once was taking a blood test in Rehov HaTurim, and the nice Eidot HaMizrach technician, and he told me he went to yeshiva, but he said they always laughed at him. He said he went to an Ashkenazi yeshiva, and he tells me they called him the class Frank. I looked at him. I said, that's what they said to you. Why didn't you answer them? Who is the Rambam? Who is the Raivan? I said, I ran away. I ran away. No, where do you turn? There was nowhere else to turn. There were no yeshiva hesdes of any repute. There was no Rabbi Lichtenstein here. Rabbi Yehuda Mital was an unknown. Who do you turn to? So I had a miracle. I had a Talmud in BMT the second year. A Holzer young man, Jacob, whatever name you know him by. And evidently I was the first Rebbe. He was already a junior in college, and I excited him. And his father decided to reward me. And Rabbi Manny Holzer, the right-hand man of the Rav, who made all the recordings clandestinely and illegally, started feeding a little kid in Israel named Aaron Rakefet recordings of the Rav. And these were recordings. Suddenly I had the Rav in the room with me. And you wouldn't believe it. In one of the recordings of the Rav from Moriah. This is in the 70s I'm listening. The incident I told you happened in 68. One of the recordings of the Rav from Moriah. Knew who had ever heard a shiur from the Rav at Moriah? What was his shtega? What did he do? What was... How do you say shtegu in English? What was his style? Style. An hour and 15 minutes, Gemara. the last 15 minutes on Parshat HaShavuah, a little drush. Suddenly I hear the Rav with drush, and he's quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And he's explaining it exactly the way I explained it. But he was the Rav, not a little tyro from the Bronx named Ani Rothkopf. And he brought a proof. B'chol davadah, there can be someone who is Mashiach. And you know what the Rav said after quoting the Gemara? And I'll bring you a proof. Ich werde euch bringen a raya from the Rambam. And the Rav shows the audience that the two instances that the Rambam refers to Bar Kochva, he refers to him as HaMelech. And the Rav said, why did he have to use the title HaMelech? The Rambam is telling us that Bar Kochva could have been Mashiach. He had the ability. He had the inclination. He had the provocativities. He had the koach, the achievements. He could have been Mashiach. The two instances, Hilchat Taniyot, Perek Hei, Halacha Gimel. Listen to this Rambam. For Tisha B'Av, it's a fast day. Bad things happened there. And the Rambam describes five terrible tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av. And one of them, B'nukadai Igdola Beitashma, V'hayubo Alafim Uravavot Yisrael. V'chaya lahem melech gadol. V'dibmu kol Yisrael u'gadolei chachamim shehu melech ha-mashiach. V'nofal b'yad goyim v'nergu kulam v'hayta tzara gadola kamochu ben habayit. What a Rambam. Look at the way he refers to Bar Kochva. They thought he was Melech HaMashiach, underlying the words Melech HaMashiach. And this is the Rambam who's Medayak in every word. That's one source. A second source, Hilchat Malachim, Perek Yud Aleph. Halacha Gimel is a very important Rambam. Al Yalel Daitecha Shehamelech HaMashiach Tzarich Lasot Otot Umoftim Umechadesh Devarim Biolam Umechayei Metim Ukeyotzei Devarim Ha'elu Shehatipshim Omrim. Don't be a fool. The fools think Melech Mashiach has to do miracles, has to change the world order, has to bring the dead back to life. No, not at all. And how do we know this? Hadavar kein, Sheharei Rebbe Akiva, Chacham Gadol Mechachmei HaMishnah Haya. Rebbe Akiva, one of the greatest sages of the Mishnah. Chacham Gadol. Charlie, you learned in Harvard. You probably had world famous professors there. I tell you that not one of those professors equaled the knowledge of Rebbe Akiva. And Rebbe Akiva, who haya nosei keilav shel ben kochba hamelech. V'hu chaya omer lav shehu chamelech ha-mashiach v'dimach hu v'chol chachmei doro sh'nerag noda sh'eino mashiach v'lo shalu mimenu chachamim lo ot v'lo mofet. What a Rambam. They thought Bar Kochva was Melech HaMashiach, Rabbi Akiva, one of the greatest of Chachmei HaMesorah. He claimed he was Melech HaMashiach. Let me carry your kelim, whatever, talit, tefillin, svarim, your bag, your groceries. Melech HaMashiach. They never asked for any od or mofet. He was so great, they saw in him the ability, the koach. He could be Melech HaMashiach. Gentlemen, I heard the Rav. I couldn't believe my ears. He said it 100 times better than I articulated it in 1968. I wanted to meet Reb Shmuel Cutler and say to him, Rebbe, ye gedenkt unser Vikuach mit Yodim Tzadik? Do you remember our debate? Every word is being translated, you don't have to worry. But I have to live it, I have to feel it. You know what I said yesterday, an event memory. I'm like a woman. On that level, I have a female personality, which is fine. Understand? I cry easily. On that level, I have a female personality. But at least I cry. Not that the Yankees are doing so poorly. That, idiots. You waste money and look what you get out of it. But on Torah, I cry. Because that's me. I wanted to call Rav Shneur Cutler. I figured I'll meet him. A year or two later, he died so young. You'll tell Donna about this, because that's your family. Now, why did Reb Shneur, why did he object? What was the problem? You see, you take a Maimer Chazal and you make it mundane, like you're going to try to bring Mashiach. You're going to accomplish what Chizkiyahu HaMelech didn't accomplish. What kind of generation is this? You have to stand in awe of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Remember the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Batkul Midon Vav Besheva. He insisted everyone has to learn, and the Lomot, they didn't find one man or woman, one boy or girl who was an Amoritz. They knew all of Shas, men and women, an open Gemara, this same Sugya. Chizkiyahu HaMelech, what chutzpah you have? And boy, I wanted to tell Reb Shneur, our mutual Rebbe, because Reb Shneur Cutler was also a Talmud of the Rav. Don't forget that. And I can tell you stories that Reb Shneur told me when he came to YU. His father told him, go hear the shurim of Reb Yosher Ber. And he also was a Talmud of the Rav. And they were very close, Morenu v'Rabenu and Reb Shneur Cutler. And I would say, you criticized me? Take a look what the Rav had to say. Take a look at these two Rambams. Take a look at Hilchot Taniyot. Take a look at Hilchot Melachim. But you see, you're in a very delicate area here. Do we have the right to say we're going to try to accomplish what Chizkiyahu HaMelech's generation did not accomplish? And Reb Shneur Cutler felt, no, we don't have that right. And Aaron Rothkopf of B'nai Akivinik, Six-Day War, ready for Aliyah, he had a different gestalt, a different understanding, a different quest. We're going to try. The fact that Ribbono Shel Olam hasn't brought Mashiach yet means maybe our generation will prove worthy of this task. Vic, a nice story, right? Fine. Last Monday, I almost committed Harry Carey. You know, you have to know your age and your limitations. I'm not a kid. I don't have that energy I had when I was a kid. I know more than I knew when I was a kid. Ani modeh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, my mind is much better. On that level, Baruch Atah Adonai Melech HaOlam, Shehakol Nehyeh Bedvaro.
So I had a bar mitzvah Monday of someone I'm very close to, a grandson of a dear friend whose life was saved by Raoul Wallenberg. If you talk about the Holocaust, he, his father and mother, and his two brothers were in a safe house in Budapest. My friend later goes on to study at MTA, a little younger than I am, older than you, Charlie, I believe. Jackie Gluck, mean anything? Not in your time, it's before your time. By the way, just between us, whenever I would mention Rabbi Macy Gordon's name to him, he would shiver. He still would be shivering 10, 20, 30, 40 years later. All right, without comment, and noted without comment. So his grandson's bar mitzvah. Kid is from a divorced home. They brought him in from America. This was his mother, Jackie's daughters, making the bar mitzvah. We left the house at 8, went to the hotel, bus went to the cult. Anyway, to make long story short, we got home at 4:15 in the afternoon. 8 a.m., 4:15, a little hard for me. My day is generally I take a nap, and I daven early, I wake up early. They were davening at the kotel a quarter after 10, and I can't daven that late no matter what. I was exhausted. We had a memorial that night. Rabbi Malin Galinsky, great individual. Again, I hope you recognize the name. Ran Shalavim, ran the Torah Culture Department from America, ran, brought the boys to BMT, the girls to Mokom Gold, then the other yeshiva as everything expanded. So Malka said, we have to go. I think it's the second yard site, second yard site, I believe. So I went with my letzte koiches, my last energy. I'm exhausted, I'm tired, I go. And believe it or not, 1968 replayed right before my eyes on Rehov Chopin in Ohel Nechama in the main synagogue. ¿Qué pasa? No Spanish, at least? You live in New York? Where do you live? In Washington Heights, if you don't speak Spanish, you don't survive. Don't play games with me. ¿Qué pasa? What happened? Very simple. Have a memorial, so I know the family, wonderful children. Some of the children moved a little bit more, to use popular language, Haredi, what you say in America, black. All right. You know Rakef it's outlook. Halacha demands, commands respect. Hashkafa is multifaceted. You all have choice. No one has the perfect answer. I would be the first one to grow a beard and a payas and put on a shtreimel if that system raised 99% children who continued in the path. None of us have the perfect answer. So my answers worked for me. I will never force anyone to follow me. I never even tried to force my grandchildren, my family, and yet everyone bounced up exactly like their grandfather. Okay. It's a compliment. This morning I had a lot of nachat, my grandson and I. Di is a chavishamab, di berechad nemru. Both of us, at the same moment, called that general an idiot. Both of us, at the same moment, an idiot. All right. But I never forced it. Halavai, let them be whatever they want. I have one daughter, a little Breslov, a little Chabad, a little Rav Kook, a little Kalbach, Baruch Hashem. Chabad Kook, they call it. So some of them, who do you invite? So once one makes a siyum, and then you have to invite a speaker. Now, Mala Galinsky was friendly with a lot of people. So last year they invited Professor Avraham Grossman from Hebrew University, a Yidat Tzaddik. They're one of the ranking scholars in the world in Chochmat Yisrael. He's published on Rashi, Rabbeinu Geshem. This year they invited my sidekick that I've been dabbling with 5:30 for decades and decades, Professor Yeshaya Gafni. Now, Professor Gafni is an American. His brother was my classmate, Abe Gafni. I think Abe Gafni went on to become a judge in Pennsylvania. Shaya Gafni came in Aliyah at a young age, Hebrew U, tremendous knowledge. He's an expert in the history of the Torah and Bayit Sheni, and at the time of the Mishnah, he's a very learned, fine, upright Jew. I can be say Eidut, that a Yid at Tzadik, a Bal Korin, Mumche, a Bal Tefillah, and he always will tell me off, because when I come into Shul 5:15, there's a fellow, Simcha Mandelbaum. These are famous names in Israel, the Mandelbaum Gate. He was raised in the Mandelbaum. So Simcha will always come in with the latest news and want my opinion. And Gaffney will say, shh, not in the Shul, not in the Shul. He's a terrific guy. So he's asked to speak. I loved his talk. Let me just repeat the heart of his talk. Spoke for 20 minutes, 25 minutes. People are tired, then they daven Marav. Quoted a Medrash. I'm giving you the source. Look it up. Medrash Rabbah, Pashat Emor, Perek Chavtet, Subdivision Bet. I repeat it again. Medrash Rabbah, Pashat Emor, Vayikra, Perek Chavtet, Subdivision Bet. Rabbi Nachman Patach, Va'al tirah avdi Yaakov. What is it talking about? Al tirah avdi Yaakov. And the Medrash, it's a Medrash Rabbah, this is a focal central Medrash, that Yaakov Avinu v'yachalom v'hine sulam mutzav atzah. That Yaakov Avinu has this fabulous dream. The ladder, it rests on the ground, and the top of the ladder, Sherosho Magia Hashemayama. And God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shows Yaakov Avinu, the Sar Shel Bavel, who goes up 70 rungs on the ladder. The Sar of Madai goes up 52 rungs. The Sar of Yavon Meirushmohnim runs. Vishel Odom, Edom, Italy, Rome, the Catholics go up, and you see how high he goes. And Yaakov Avinu got very frightened. They're on the ladder, they're succeeding, they're ruling, and they're not coming down. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'ata Al Tira Avdi Yaakov. Don't be frightened. Even if he goes up, and even if he sits next to me, and he's gone up all the rungs, and he's conquered the world, I will bring him down. And they quote a pasuk from Ovadia, in Tagbia Kanesha, v'in ben kochavim simkinecha, no matter how high you go, God will bring these kingdoms down. And the Medrash goes on, that he showed Yaakov Avinu, Bavel, who went up so high, goes down. Madai that went up so high goes down. Yavon that went up so high goes down. And Edom that goes up so high is pulled down. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu LeYaakov, Hafatar Oleh. Now it's time for you to go up. Ba'ota Shan Nijarei Yaakov Avinu V'amar Shema chas v'shalom shela elu yurida aflikein. These other nations went up, they conquered, they ruled, and then they were forced down. Chas v'chalila, I too will be forced down. The Jews will rule, the Jews will establish a state, and then they'll lose out like all the other countries. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov, Ata al tira, im ata ole, ein lecha yirida olamit. You will never be forced down. And then the Midrash says, Lo ha'emin v'lo ala, that Yaakov Avinu
couldn't accept this promise. He was worried. He viewed it in earthly terms. He viewed it rationally, logically. Shemi yigrom hachet, the Mefarshim explained, they quote the Gemara in Bracha, that who can be sure that God will have to keep his promise or will want to keep his promise? We all know what sin can do to the Jewish people. And Yaakov hesitated and didn't go up. And Shaya Gafni said, and this is why we celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, that in our generation we had the courage, we had the guts, we had the self-confidence to go up the ladder, to rise, to establish our kingdom. And he tied it together with Rabbi Galinsky's life, how much the man loved Eretz Yisrael and what he did for Medinat Yisrael and what he did for the country and how many people he inspired to come in Aliyah. No, what do you say? Good talk? Fine, beautiful. Love it. Daddy, I could use it. Tie it together with Chizkiyo HaMelech Yomo, like a glove on a hand, right or wrong. Josh, Morty, right after he finishes, one of the sons gets up to make a mecha'a that he embarrassed Yaakov Avinu. And he tied it together, the son, with the whole machloket in Israel, Bigova Einayim. Josh, you know what that's about, Bigova Einayim? Do you intend to live here, or are you going to go back to the Gullus and lose your Jewishness and just become another American practitioner of Sabbath and Kashrut laws on occasion? Which is it? To live here? Don't put the Rebbe on. 50 years from now, we'll discuss it again. Okay? You're married?
Not yet.
Not yet. Till you find the wife, and we'll have to hear what she says. It's an open medrash in Bereshit. Hakol acharei ha'isha. It's also a medrash rabbah. Aliyah is made or broken by the wife. As my wife says, she brought me here, and I kept her here. Baruch Hashem. Josh, he let go of Einayim. The whole machloket had to teach Tanakh. Your children are going to go to an Israeli school. How do you teach Tanakh? Do you deal with it? They were human beings like us? Or no, you can't look at them. But go of Einayim means you're looking at them like you're equal. How can we avot hakadoshim? Have you ever gone into a Chinuch Chachmai school in Geula? Rashi HaKadosh. Understand? I never heard the Rav in his life say Rashi HaKadosh. And here, it's a different approach. But believe me, I revere Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. But the Medrash is relating Jewish history. It's beautiful. It's magnificent. Yaakov Avinu didn't go up. We Jews didn't rule. We went through the Holocaust. We went through the Shoah. Look what we're going through today. Just think for a minute. Listen to the English Labour Party. Biggest mistake England ever made was agreeing to the Balfour Declaration. No one in the world. Look at our own leadership here. Have you heard anyone ever say, God gave us this land? Open the Bible. They're not allowed to say it. Do you know why? I'll tell you why. I know a little bit what's going on in the higher echelons here. They don't want to turn it into a religious war. They say, don't mention the Bible. Don't mention the Bible. Who uses that term? Don't mention the flood. How does it go? What actor? What movie? What TV sitcom? That's... in Fawlty Towers, don't mention the Germans. You know what I'm talking about, Fawlty Towers? Oh my God. Charlie and Amaretz, what are you going to do here? We got to liven him up. 40 Towers. You've heard of the BBC? It is the greatest, John Cleese, exactly. The greatest sitcom, 12 chapters. And there's one chapter, it's Fawlty Towers. It's a play on words. His name is Fawlty. It's a hotel owned by Mr. Fawlty, but Fawlty Towers, pronounced, you understand? And all the faults there. And one episode, the Germans are coming, and he's telling everyone, don't mention the war, don't mention the war. Remember, this is 1970 England, don't mention the war. And he does this, in the middle, he suddenly imitates the Gestapo goose steps, and the German tourists are crying. It's a scene to be seen. That's, don't mention the Germans. We were afraid to go up. Don't mention the Bible. And we have to have the guts to go up, to come in Aliyah, to build our country, to make our contribution. What a beautiful eulogy for Rabbi Galinsky. Deja vu. Deja vu. I was sitting there. I couldn't believe my ears. And I told Malka, wow, it brought me back to life, circa 68, and Reb Shneur Katla. The next morning, Shaya walks in and he says, can you believe what happened? He's quoting a medrash. What is he quoting? I said, I'll tell you the same story. B'didi Havayuf, I told him what happened to me in 68. Except you got your face smacked by a younger man. I got my face smacked by an Adam Gadol. So I asked his permission to tell the story today. And he gladly gave me permission. Give me 1 second. Josh, I work very hard. Be sure no one ever gave me a gift. This is all. I have tens of thousands of pages like this. Right down the hall. It's my life. Charlie, what do we see from this? Moshe, you wanted to ask something? I saw your hand up, or it's answered.
It was all the way at the beginning of class.
The beginning of class.
The
Chatam Sofer was Mashiach in
Gedera. People claim that he was Mashiach.
In Gedera?
In his era.
Oh, in his era.
Same way that people said about Mashiach.
You know what that man suffers from? Savlana. Jay, go to the doctor and tell him you want pills from such. That's exactly my next point. Gentlemen, I have to tell you.
That's what I
was going to ask. Baruch Hashem. Savlanut. The Rebbe has. Believe me, I'm asking that question right now. Natan. So that's clear. In every generation, there's someone who has the eligibility to be Mashiach. This has given birth to exactly the words Moshe Schwartz mentioned a second ago. Time and again, Gedolei Yisrael, who were unique in their generation, their followers would refer to them as Mashiach. I want you to understand, I don't think it means literally Mashiach Tzidkenu in the full sense. But what they really meant is these people had the ability, if there would be a Mashiach, this is who Mashiach would be. But it even goes further than that. We have one example, I'm going to give you the source and give you a little bit of the story. It's very, very fascinating. I don't know how much of this is available in English. I know that something has been done in English, but I'll give you the source right here in a minute. There was actually an attempt in the 1930s to crown a great Talmud Chacham Mekubal, mystic miracle worker, Mashiach Tzidkenu. What makes
this event even more fascinating is who the players were. It was a total merger of the Ashkenazic world and the Sephardic world. And that too is a overture for Mashiach Tzidkenu, where the Torah world, the revelation, it has to be total, it has to be complete, it has to encompass all Jews. You all know the joke that goes around that Mashiach can't come because he doesn't know which kippah to wear. Or the other joke is that Mashiach will come and he'll wear a kippah that's one quarter black, one quarter crocheted, colored, one quarter black, and one other quarter colored, crocheted. There has to be total unity. And let me introduce you to a very fascinating story worthy of an Israeli movie. Katedra, Kuf Tuf Dalid Reish Hey. Anyone recognize it? It is a scholarly publication, L'Toldot Eretz Yisrael, put out not that far from here, within walking distance of where I live for sure, the Yitzchak Ben Tzvi Institute. Yitzchak, what is it called? Merkaz Ben Tzvi? What's it called?
Yad Ben Tzvi.
Yad Ben Tzvi. Thank you. Yad Ben Tzvi. It's right on, right off Keren Kayemet LeYisrael, Rehov Kalkal, Rehov Al-Kharisi. It's right one block away from Kalkal. It's on Rehov Al-Kharisi. Now, they put out a very interesting work called Katedra, which has scholarly articles on the history of Eretz Yisrael. This article is called in English Messianic Activism in the Works of Chaim Elasa Shapiro, the Munkach Rebbe Between the Two World Wars. Let me give you the exact. It's Katedra, issue 149, Tishrei, 2013, on pages 77 to 104. Now, I have the article right in front of me. A few words of background. The Munkach Rebbe, the person we're talking about, we're dealing here with a Hungarian who was Reb Chaim Elasa Shapiro, the tremendous Talmud Chacham, and a man who wrote many Sfarim that are quoted, the Minchat Elasa, the way they pronounce it, Minchas Elasa, but the Minchat Elazar, Sfarim that are quoted until today, a Posek Mufak. In addition to being a Posek Mufak, he lived that these were very difficult times. They thought they were difficult times. Little did they dream that they were going to be infinitely more difficult. World War I was called the war to end all wars. Those of you that are buffs of history, you go back 100 years, no one ever fought a war like that where so many countries were involved. Not only were so many countries were involved, but it was a war fought man against man, soldier against soldier. Tanks played a very minor role. Planes almost played no role. There was no concept of missiles. It was basically totally soldier against soldier. It's totally unlike the situation today, 100 years later, which we spoke about in class yesterday in a different context, where today the most important part of the Israeli army is the division that will take care of the civilian part, the Oref, where we live, where we are, because in any war that will be fought now, civilians will bear the brunt of the casualties due to missiles and due to airplanes, and you see what's going on in Syria, where hundreds of thousands of civilians have been killed, not soldiers. World War I, millions and millions of soldiers were killed. You move 2 feet forward, hundreds killed. You move 2 feet back, another 100 killed. back and forth and back and forth. It was a terrible period. The Jews were totally uprooted. The Jews suffered tremendously. Local armies, whenever they went on a spree and were drunk, they made a pogrom against Jews. No one defended the Jews. World War I was the war to end all wars. What happens when the Jews suffer? Kol zman we're not suffering, there's very little study of esoteric material, of Kabbalistic material. That entire area is neglected or left to a handful of scholars. When Jews suffer, then of course they get involved, they try to find compensation in the world of mysticism. Can you prove to me I'm right? You don't have to go very far. Go back in time 300 years. Shabtai Tzvi, the Jews suffered so much, the Chmielnytsky massacres, what went on in Poland and the Ukraine, and how many Jews were butchered and suffered. Read the Ibn Mitzula, which we used to study. There's an English translation by Avraham Mesh, was an Orthodox rabbi who had a conservative temple. So that era of the 1940s, he was a graduate of Chicago Theological Seminary, of what you call Skokie today. He translated into English. When I was a kid, we used to read that on Tisha B'Av, Ibn Mitzula. And after the Chmielnytsky massacres, this is where Shabtai Tzvi came to the fore. I am Mashiach, I will deliver you, I will compensate you for all that you suffered, and people want to believe that. That is human nature, it cannot be helped. After World War I, exactly the same feeling overtook many Jews. And in 1930, the Minchat Alasa started dreaming and thinking about visiting Israel, and above all, to visit in Israel, Reb Shlomo Eliezer Alfanderi. Let me spell it for you. Aleph Lamed Fei Nun Dalet Reish Yud, who is known as the Saba Kadisha. And this Rav Alfanderi, the Saba Kadisha, this was a Mekubal of the highest order. He was on in years, in his 90s, revered by all of Yerushalayim, the Sfadim, the Ashkenazim, and people wanted to believe that he could be Mashiach. In 1929, you had the terrible massacre in Hebron. You're all familiar with that. The Slabodka Yeshiva opened the branch in Hebron, and one terrible Shabbos, Bein Hazmanim in Chodesh Av, 1929, the Arabs rioted and killed, I believe it was a total of, if my memory is correct, 67 Jews in Hebron over that weekend, the majority of them being Talmidim in the Slabodka Yeshiva. Rabbi Ephraim Epstein of Chicago lost his son who was studying in the yeshiva. YU had two graduates who were studying in the yeshiva. One Rabbi Berman, who was a musmach of YU, was murdered. One was Horowitz, Benjamin Horowitz, who was a graduate of Talmudical Academy, who was murdered. Torah Vadas had something like five students who were studying in the yeshiva, who were all butchered, murdered, massacred. People survived by miracles, and the world was shaking. And Rav the Minchat Alasa wanted to visit Rav Alfanderi in Israel. So, and all the facts are in this article with the documents, with the footnotes. I know I saw a book in English put out by Art School, by Masora, a translation of some, there was a book written about this by one of the followers of Rav, the Munkacha, and there was a translation into English. How much detail I don't recall, and how honest the detail is, I also don't recall. Remember, you're not dealing with scholarship in Art Scroll or Masora, but here you're dealing with scholarship. And Rav the Munkacha in 1929 turns to Rav Alfanderi, "I'd like to come to visit you in Yerushalayim."
And Rav Alfandari writes back to him that the time is not ripe. And in their correspondence, they're referring to that Beviat Goel Tzedek. Beviat Goel Tzedek. They're referring to the revelation of Messiah. In 1930, Chodesh Nisan, Rav Demitchat Lezer gets a letter from Rav Alfandari that he should come to visit him. And right after Pesach, Chodesh Iyar, with 15 key Hasidim, they come to Eretz Yisrael. And you see, this is the Munkacha who is so opposed to Zionism. And here with 15 Hasidim, they're making the trip to Eretz Yisrael, and they meet, they have all the details there, how they meet a Mekubal who knows Rav Alfandari, and he passes on a message, Rav Dvek. I met a direct descendant of his last Monday at the Bar Mitzvah, Chaim Shol Dvek, a great Mekubal, a great Moroccan rabbi, and he passes a message from the Minchat Alazah from Rav Alfandari, Chole Ahava Ani. Again, what does it mean, Chole Ahava, to meet you, to love of God, and the remuzim, the hints are to Mashiach Tzidkenu. They finally meet. They meet once. They meet twice. No one is allowed into the meeting. The Hasidim are standing outside the door, and this description brought me back to my youth in Yeshiva University. They're standing, leaning against the door, putting their ears to the door to catch every word. Does anyone know what I'm referring to, my youth at Yeshiva University? In the yeshiva at that time, until 1957 or 8, Mashahu Kaseh, all the Bechinat for Smicha were oral. And you went in with your Chavruta, and sitting in front of you was Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, on one side was the Lomsha Rav, Rav Moshe Shatskis, on the other side was the second president of the yeshiva, Rav Shmuel Belkin, and they shot questions at you in oral Bechina. Fellas were so nervous before the Bechina that they were on toast and tea. That's all they could eat for weeks before the Bechina. And we knew who was going in. We would sit outside, and when we heard voices, we jumped to the door. I can tell you exactly where. It was on the first floor of the main academic center. When you walked into the building, you turned right, walked up the steps. That's where the Bechinat were. That was Dr. Belkin's conference room. That's where the Bechinat took place. And we put our ears to the door to listen what was going on inside. And here, these Hasidim did exactly what we did, trying to catch what was being said. And all that we know is that the Munkacha pleaded with him, reveal yourself, you're the Tzadik Hadar, but the Saba Kadisha answered, I'm not yet on that level. They had one meeting, they had a second meeting, and the Saba Kadisha was hesitant. While they were there in Israel, they traveled to visit the other holy cities. They visited Hebron, they visited Tiberias, Tzvat, and while they were out of Yerushalayim, suddenly the news came that the Saba Kadisha died. I believe in his death they claim he was over 100 years. And they were very upset, very disappointed, and they went back to Munkach. Now, this story has an interesting halachic side issue as well. Danny, where were you for Yontif?
New Jersey.
Edison, New Jersey. I'll be in that area this summer, Bezrat Hashem, East Brunswick.
Where were you, Josh?
West Orange.
West Orange. Oh, that's where my second rabbinate begins, Maplewood, South Orange. Wow. Who was here? Who was here? Natan, where were you? Woodmere. Nothing helps me. I know where you were. Ah, Vic, where were you for Pesach? Brooklyn. Tell me, what did you observe? 1 day or 2 days? 1 day. Unbelievable. Vic Rain observes 1 day. So second day, where did you find the minion?
Found.
Unbelievable. Found the minion. Tell me, did Vic do right? What do you say, Josh? He lives in Israel. He bought an apartment there. He was, unfortunately, about 10 years ago, he heard a guy named Rakefet give a talk in Flatbush, and it kicked him into Israel. All right, Baruch Hashem. 1 day or 2 days, what do you say? Did he do right? Did he do wrong?
You're supposed to keep 1 day.
That's a possibility. Gentlemen, he didn't do right, he didn't do wrong, you can't win in this issue, but it's not now for me to give a shiur. I spent a year and a half on it. If I'd be in Flatbush or Brooklyn or wherever, or Borough Park for Yontif, I would keep 2 full days like everybody else. The only thing I would do differently, as I told you, is when I came home, I'd hide in the room and put tefillin on without a bracha, make a deal with the Ribbono Shel Olam. If today is time for tefillin, it's tefillin. If not, it's a kishut ba'alma, it's a decoration. Say Shema, quickly take them off, and go back to observe the Chag. But Vic, being
I know.
But Vic, being a good Jew, followed the Pesachim of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, of Reb Moshe Feinstein, of Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein in his later years. You follow me? I'm not saying you did wrong, but I would do differently because I spoke with the Rav. No, the Munkacha was in Eretz Yisrael for Shavuot. It blew his mind. He was keeping 2 days. Everyone was keeping 1 day. He felt Chalishut Hadat. And in the Minchat Las, I believe it's the 3rd volume, he writes a whole tshuva, and he says he had to run away from Israel, he couldn't take it, and he reached the conclusion that Yontif Sheni is no different than Kriyat Megillah. Kriyat Megillah, if Vic is in Tel Aviv, he reads on Yudalat. If he's in Yerushalayim, he reads on Tetvav. Exactly Yontif Sheni. In Eretz Yisrael, 1 day. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, 2 days. And it's interesting that the Minchat Laza joins in the great revolt against the Shulchan Aruch, led by the Chacham Tzvi, Rab Chaim Brisa, the Chazon Ish, Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk, Rav Ovadia Yosef, and Rab Aaron Lichtenstein in his earlier years, that in Eretz Yisrael it's 1 day, in Chutz Laretz it's 2 days. It's a result of his visit to Eretz Yisrael. And he gives a whole description there, how he's going to Mikvah, he wants to feel Kedushat Yontif, and all around him, they're in their cars, their wagons, they're driving, they're talking, they're selling, and the Kedusha was gone. Gentlemen, let me conclude. In every generation, b'chol davada, there's someone who can be Mashiach Tzidkenu. There are many other factors involved in bringing Mashiach. It's not just that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be willing, that you have the proper candidate, but the Jews have to be worthy, the times have to be right, many pieces of the puzzle have to fall into place. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is very powerful. Mori Rebbe strengthened it by citing the Rambam, and there you have 2 instances. They're practicing for Yom HaTzmut now. 2 instances. Those listening over the world, can you hear the planes in the background? The Israeli jets. Ashreinu Shezachinu Lekach. And there are 2 instances where the Rambam refers to Bar Kokhba as Melech. Melech, and it's a message for us. Reb Shneur Cutler didn't agree with Rothkopf's interpretation, but I showed you a clone
with a beautiful medrash, Yaakov Avinu lo ala, and we have the guts today. Oh my gosh, how can you say that? Embarrasses Yaakov Avinu. It's an open medrash. They're facts of life. Lo ala. Whatever the reasons are, with all his greatness. I mean, the fact that he has a vision and God talks to him, this is his greatness. Doesn't take away from his greatness. But our generation has a different challenge. And I couldn't believe it, but this is our tradition. More than that. Here, Moshe Schwartz said, the Chatam Sofer, they taught this Mashiach. I can tell you, you'll find on YouTube, am I right? That's where you have all these. You'll find, I once saw a video there from a yeshiva in Poland in the 1930s, where they're singing Yechi Adonenu Moreinu Rabbeinu Melech HaMashiach Leolam Va'ed, and it's not the Lubavitcher Rebbe they're talking about. So you see, and even the Munkacha had this dream of Rav Alfanderi. One postscript, the Rav once spoke about Rav Alfanderi. It has to be his son. And his son was also very great when the Rav visited in 1935. And the Rav broke into his devilish smile, and he said, when I spoke in learning with him, and remember, the Rav had to speak Hebrew. They say on the Bol Peretz Yisrael, he practiced Hebrew because he couldn't speak Yiddish. He couldn't speak Yiddish with the Sfatik Rabbanim. And he said, Rav Alfanderi turned to his followers and said, HaLitvak hazeh yodeya eich lumod, that this Litvak knows how to learn. The Rav said it with a smile, and we all had a good laugh. Gentlemen, ad kan, we will go further, building block by block with Mashiach. Now, I have a lot to give out. First of all, Rabbi Reuben is not here. I can't give that. Does anyone know who Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Katz, Leon Katz, was of Passaic, New Jersey? Name unknown. Rev. Michal Katz, my Rebbe, YU, the son, the brothers, Chief Rabbi Reuben Katz's son. This is Eliezer Katz's doctorate. It's on the Chatam Sofer. It was done at Bernard Rebel Graduate School. If anyone wants this, it's yours. Moshe, do you read modern Hebrew? This is on the Chatam Sofer. Gentlemen, there was an ambassador who worked for the United States presidents in the 70s into the 80s, perhaps 90s, Max Kampelman. He was a little Jewish kid from the Bronx. If anyone's interested in his autobiography, I have two brand new copies. How did I get them? Evidently, he had a cousin living in my neighborhood, and he sent a case of books to him to give out. And this cousin, cleaning out his house, got rid of this whole carton of books. Nothing was given out. It was sealed carton. So I took a few. I took one for myself. My grandson was interested, and I figured maybe in the Kollel there'll be people who are interested. If anyone studies political science, this is a very interesting book. They say it's considered one of the better studies. It's about the administration, about the president, and those that help him set policy. How much leeway do they have when they set policy? Are they running the president by the nose, or does the president run them? It's a very fascinating book. It deals with the Reagan-Carter administration. This is a fabulous book from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Someone asked the Rebbe why in the Shabbat Shirah the Haftorah is Vatasha Devorah. Why, if you read Ezra Shir Moshe, why do you read Vatasha Devorah? You could have something about men like Shirat David. You can have why Devorah? And the Rebbe answered, because yes, it's true, Moshe led the men, Devorah, and Miriam led the women. But Shirat HaNashim, the Rebbe said, Haita b'simcha gedola, b'tupim u'b'mecholot. And that's why you honor Devorah HaNeviah, to call out Miriam and all that she did.
This is a letter from McDonald's, 1990, to a Jewish community center in Spring Valley. And McDonald's wants them to know that they're aware Passover is coming, and at the three different McDonald's near Spring Valley, matzah will be available with the tafas. Unbelievable. This is a very interesting article. I know about this. It was published, I saw it years ago too, how Manischewitz became Manischewitz and how they developed the machine matzah in America. This research ties in with Yerushalayim. The Manischewitz family is originally from Yerushalayim. This is a scholarly article by my student Rabbi Dr. Seth Farber on the difference between the Boston Rebbe in Brooklyn and the Boston Rebbe in Brookline. Between Brooklyn and Brookline, American Hasidim and the evolution of the Boston Hasidic tradition. Very fascinating article. This is on the Archbishop of Canterbury. Was he Jewish? Wasn't he Jewish? Who really was his father? New York Times article. This is on the New Catholic Truce. As a Torah Jew, it's interesting to read what's going on in the Catholic Church. The new Pope is an innovator, but he's limited by tradition. How far can he go? This is a very important article for your generation. Why writing things out by hand makes you a lot smarter than just typing into the computer. This is an article that's making the rounds today with the Schlissel Challah. After Pesach, every Meshuggah thinks Schlissel Challah. It is a pagan, non-Jewish custom, 100%.
Is
this Schlissel Challah? This is what I told you about yesterday. If anyone wants this scholarly article on, it's about Jewish women at the circumcision ritual. And the article quotes the sources I gave you in class on the Tashbates, so you can conclude. Remember I said to you, if the feminists get hold of this Tashbates, they're going to use it. Well, here it is, Judaism in Practice, and by Lawrence Huffman is the article, who Vic tells me seems to be either a good Talmud Chacham, or he has a very good Google. Take your choice.
Google
Hadar. And here, if you're interested, I made copies. I can't believe this. This is my friend, Dr. Professor Sam Dershowitz, Lo Aleinu, who's a first Pesach without his wife. And he wanders into Meir Sharim, and he sees these signs. I told him to take a picture, because I don't believe you. He said, from Meir Sharim, if you have an iPad, you use it, you eat. Chametz gets into it. How can you keep it over Pesach? So they're willing, they have someone subsidizing, they're making available new iPads beginning from 99 shekel and up, and every iPad you buy is reduced in price because it's subsidized, so you can get rid of your Chametz sticker one and have a Pesach sticker iPad. With all that being said, my dear students, I want to wish you a very meaningful Yom HaZikaron Wednesday. It's a very difficult day. We've paid a very heavy price. Just think, from the original BMT Madrichim, and BMT was 4 years old, was beginning its fourth year when the Yom Kippur War broke out, two out of our four Madrichim never returned. Two out of four, Birnbaum and Stern. Just think, so many years ago, where Stern was married, had two children, I think. His wife was later my student for a master's in a master's program paid for by the government in Mechala, and Saril Birnbaum, a Talmud Rabbi Yehuda Amital, was ready to get engaged, and he never came back. Hashem Yikom Damom, and all the thousands and thousands of others, and the civilians who have fallen, may God give us strength. We should never know from what's up. And then we have to follow the example of Purim and go from Taina Desta and go up the ladder with Chag Atzmaut. It should be a beautiful climb, and we should never come down.
B'sorah tova, aleinu v'al kol Yisrael. Das v'damar.